And joining me right now here on the phone line for Thursday to preview the Major League Baseball playoffs, and I can't wait to get his thoughts on Aaron Judge. He is my good friend, Joe Lucia with the Comeback Baseball blog. Joe, how you doing today?
Doing very well, Mark. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's get into it. So Judge hit 62. He is the AL home run king. What are your thoughts on all the controversy of, is he the real champ? Is Bonds the champ? What is your official take? I can't wait to hear this.
The record book is clear. There has been no overturning of Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, any of their home run totals. So I don't even know why this is a discussion. People are believing what they want to believe, and in this era where so many people get up in arms about fake news, this is example A of fake news. I mean, you're believing what you want to believe and just ignoring what the facts say. It's really kind of disturbing and is emblematic of a lot of bigger things in society today.
Is it a big deal, though, that Judge hit 62 home runs with the Yankees?
Sure, it's great. He's the new AL home run single season leader. He's the new Yankees single season home run leader. Those are big things, but let's not pretend that he is the ultimate home run king of all time, because he's not.
The way he struggled over the last 2 weeks, does it really show you how much pressure there is to hit these home runs, especially when you're going for this record?
Yeah, and especially with networks like ESPN constantly cutting in for every at-bat and MLB Network showing every Aaron Judge Yankees game. It was just so much overkill over the last 2 weeks, and seeing him kind of being pitched to more carefully honestly kind of amused me, because there wasn't a lot going on for the Yankees. They were really locked into that two spot in the American League. So, you know, there was a lot less pressure on him, and he still couldn't get it going.
Joe, are you happy for him that he got the 62? Because I am. I'm relieved he got it. What about you?
I mean, I don't really care that he got the 62. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not an Aaron Judge fan. I'm not a Yankees fan. Mm. But I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I like the fact that in spring training slash this offseason, he turned down that Yankees contract, bet on himself, and then turned in this incredible season. That probably got him, like, maybe an extra $100 million in his next contract. He bet on himself, and he won big time. And I love when athletes are able to do that.
Is he the MVP of the American League?
I know there's a lot of talk about what Shohei Ohtani's done, and what he's done this year has been phenomenal. But Judge, I mean, he's had like a top 20 season of all time. What he's done this year has just been on a completely different level than what Ohtani has done, and not taking anything away from Ohtani, who got the start yesterday for the Angels and became the first player ever to qualify for an ERA title and a batting title in the season. But Judge is just like something else, man.
Does it kind of remind you of, I think this is maybe 10 years ago, when you had Mike Trout coming up, he's playing out of his mind, but then Cabrera wins the Triple Crown and gets the playoffs. Is that what it kind of reminds you of when you look at that race?
Yeah, sort of, but I mean, what Judge did this year was on another level from what Cabrera did. Cabrera got the Triple Crown, but like Trout had like similar, if not better, overall stats, whereas this year Judge was just like far and away the best hitter in baseball. And what Ohtani did was great, but he wasn't like a 1A compared to what Judge did, whereas with Trout it was, and Cabrera, it was really like 1A and 1B.
Is it harder now to hit in this modern era because of how relief pitching is used, where it's just so, like, everything comes down to a science? Is it harder now to try to hit all these home runs?
Yes and no. It's harder because of, as you mentioned, the specialization of relievers and how hard they're all throwing. But on the other hand, it's kind of easier because you don't know what ball you're going to be getting. There have been issues with the baseballs over the last few years, and a lot of these balls are, like, they can fly when they're smashed. And we got a guy like Judge with his kind of power. He can really just smash a ball if he runs into it. And I think that makes it a little bit easier. But on the grand scheme of things, I'd say it's a little harder just because of the pitcher specialization.
We're here with Joe Lucia, the Comeback Baseball blog. All right, you brought up the contract. there's no way the Yankees can let this guy walk, right? No way.
I mean, I don't think it's in their wheelhouse anymore. I think Judge is going to look for the contract that he wants. Yankees are obviously going to be involved. There have been rumors that the Mets would be interested in, and with the way they've spent, they could offer even more money. Judge is from the Bay Area, so the Giants could get involved after they had a bit of a disappointing season this past year. So I think there's going to be a lot of potential bidders, and it's not an issue of whether the Yankees can keep him. It's whether Judge will want to stay with the Yankees.
We've had this discussion before. He's 30 years old. Do you give him a 10-year deal, or do you try to go 5 or 6 years with this guy?
I am honestly curious if a team like the Giants or the Mets wants, maybe looks into offering him a deal that is something along the lines of like, man, I wonder if you could get him for like 5 years and $400 million, something like that. Kind of like that Max Scherzer contract that is just so ridiculously set up. Scherzer's like 3 years, 100. God, yeah. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, $120 million, something like that. I wonder if a deal a little longer than that, but for some absurd salary, would appeal to Judge.
Could he make like $50 million a year in base pay?
Yeah, I mean, I think he could. If it's a shorter-term deal, I think that is definitely on the table. I don't think he's getting, you know, like a 10-year deal for $500 million, but I think if he wants, like, you know, 5-6 year deal, I think a team could absolutely go ham for him.
I don't think the Yankees can let him walk. And we don't, and this is the other thing, we don't know what they're going to do in the postseason. What, like, if they won the World Series, just forget it. Open up the checkbook. We're here with Joe Lucia with the Comeback Baseball Blog. I appreciate your honesty in this conversation. So the fun question is for you: if you caught that baseball, would you take the $2 million up front?
No, absolutely not. I mean, like years ago, the balls that like McGuire and Bonds hit for their record homers went for more than $2 million, I believe. So, I mean,
yes,
if you're offering me $2 million, I'd hang on to that and not even consider selling for less than like $5 million, especially when we've seen kind of memorabilia prices over the last couple of years really spike. I mean, $2 million is a really low ball offer, in my opinion, which is crazy when you're considering that it's for a baseball.
I looked it up where, so seriously, the McGuire 70th ball, Todd McFarlane spent $3 million in 1998. Remember Todd McFarlane buying all the balls? $3 million then. I'm with you, buddy. I think it's worth more than that.
Oh, it definitely is, especially because, you know, it's a Yankee. So you've got all these like big time Yankee collectors that love to spend money that would be all about paying up for that ball, man. I definitely think that you could get more than $2 million for it. I mean, that's so low in my opinion.
Well, all right, let's say you get $2 or $3 million. What are you going to do with the money?
I mean, I live in California, so that would buy me like a garage. So, I mean, that's probably what I'd end up doing if I got my $2 million for a baseball.
All right, so you're saying you're moving to Florida, right? That's with the no state income tax, or Texas.
I am going to politely say pass on that.
It's okay, man. All right, what are your thoughts? Expanded playoffs, we start Friday. Like, are you excited for this?
Yeah, because I'm a fan of the defending world champs who get a bye, thank you very much. So I'm pretty amped about that. And, I mean, there's a lot of good teams this year, man. Like, I was kind of, like, down on the expanded playoffs a little bit this year. But, like, in the NL, we got 300-win teams. There's another 100-win team in the AL, a bunch of 90-win teams across both leagues. There are a lot of good teams in the playoffs this year. It's not like there's an 84-win team sneaking in there. The quote-unquote worst team in the playoffs is the Rays, and with 86 wins. And, I mean, 86 wins doesn't necessarily make you a bad team.
No, the Rays have been in the playoffs, what? It's like it's the third year in a row, something like that. We'll see what happens to them. But I want to start with what you said, the Braves. Them and the Mets both won 100 games. But how did the Braves get hot and overtake the Mets to win that division?
I mean, honestly, what it really comes down to, back in August, the teams had a five-game series in New York, and the Mets won 4 out of 5 of those games. And it really looked over. The Mets had the advantage on the season series, and they really just needed to win 2 games against the Braves the rest of the way, and they would clinch the tiebreaker, which ended up being a big deal. That's how the Braves ended up winning the division. But in the remaining, 9 games played, the Braves won 6 out of 7 of them. Not 9, 7, I can't count. The Braves won 6 of the last 7 games the two teams played together, and that ended up giving the Braves the season series against the Mets. That ended up taking them over the Mets in the division, and that was what gave the Braves the division championship after the Mets led almost wire to wire. And I mean, I don't think it's necessarily an issue of the Mets collapsing, because they still played like really well. They had something like the 5th best record in the NL after that series I was talking about. But the Braves were just on another level. The Braves had the best record in the NL, and I think all of baseball after that series. So they just went on an incredible tear. It wasn't enough for the Mets to just win 2 games against the team the rest of the way.
How about Dansby Swanson hitting off of DeGrom and Scherzer back-to-back days?
Yeah, I mean, he has really played himself in line for a nice contract this offseason going into free agency. Braves wanted to re-sign him. They could not because of that impending free agency. And Swanson is just really looking for a big contract this year. He might stay in Atlanta. He might go elsewhere. But the year he has had has kind of upped his asking price a little bit, too.
Are the Braves built to repeat as champions this playoff season then?
They are, but a lot depends on the health of Spencer Strider, who was either their best or second best pitcher for the entirety of the season. He's shelved right now with an oblique injury. He's feeling a little better. Thankfully for the Braves, they do not have to deal with the wild card series this week, which could end up being incredibly beneficial for them. If they get Strider back for the division series, I think they'll be in good shape. If not, I think they'll still be good for this coming round, but could be in trouble in the NLCS or a potential World Series.
All right, let's go back to the Mets. Who are they taking on here this weekend?
The Mets have the Padres this weekend. Padres, you know, another one of those teams that had a lot of high expectations, but they just could not live up to them. But even though they couldn't live up to those expectations, they still won 89 games, made the playoffs. It's going to be a tough series for the Mets, especially after the disappointments this past week in Atlanta. But because the series is being played in New York, I think you can give the edge to the Mets there.
Yeah, I don't think the Mets are done. I mean, like, you look at the Braves fans. I know you're one of them. You look at the Braves fans on Twitter. They think, like, the Mets are eliminated. No, the Mets still have a chance here moving forward. I'm interested to see how they will play against the Padres. Is Juan Soto, then, the X factor, especially how, you know, he won that world championship in 2019?
Yeah, since he came over to the Padres, he's been good, but he hasn't been like otherworldly good. I mean, he's been a productive player, but he hasn't been a superstar. I think he could have a season where he really steps up for the Padres. And you look at the rest of that offense. I mean, Manny Machado had MVP caliber year, but the rest of the guys really kind of struggled. Obviously, Tatis hasn't played at all this season. Jake Cronenworth kind of took a step back for them this year, and there's not a lot of star power on offense. So I think that Soto's really going to need to step up if the Padres are going to beat the Mets.
All right, the other series, Philadelphia, who's in the playoffs, they're going to be at St. Louis. What do you think of this matchup?
I mean, the Phillies are they're a flawed team. They can hit. They have top-tier starting pitching in Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola, but, man, their defense is not good. Their bullpen kind of struggles at times, whereas the Cardinals are a much more well-rounded team led by Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado on offense. I think the Cardinals are just going to be an overall better team, better fundamentals, just better coached. So I think that'll give them the edge. But if the Phillies stars really start to step up, I think they could pull off the upset over the Cardinals.
And these games this weekend, is it just like Friday, Saturday, Sunday if needed? Like, there's no days off, right?
There are no days off. It's just straight through the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, held at the home ballpark of the higher seed. No travel days at all. So, I mean, you win the first 2 games at home, I mean, that's it. you're all set. You're advancing. So there's a very little room for error.
And then you have the Dodgers. There was a stat I saw. They're like 60 games above 500. Like, how good are they this postseason?
They had a run differential of like 350 or something dumb what? Like that. They are such a great team, especially on offense. Freddie Freeman, MVP caliber year.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts, Trey Turner's still with them. We always forget about Trey Turner. He's had another fantastic year. That offense from 1 through 9 is absolutely loaded. But again, I think I said this with you a few months ago. I'm a little worried about that pitching staff. A lot of these guys have been handled a little bit with kid gloves. They don't have Walker Buehler this year. I'm kind of worried that the Dodgers pitching might not be able to live up to the expectations that have been set upon them.
I'm going to call my shot. For the pennant, I think it should be Mets and Braves again. And just they kill each other for 7 games. I know you probably don't want to see that, but I think viewing-wise, I think that'd be awesome for the National League.
I absolutely think that, especially since we've gotten Dodgers, Braves, and the NLCS 2 years in a row. I think 3 years in a row might be a little overkill on that. Whereas if we get Mets, Braves, and the NLCS, I think people would be getting some flashback to 1999 and the walk-off to win the series for the Braves.
Let's go to the American League then, where you brought them up. The Rays, they're going to be at the Guardians for 3. What do you think of this matchup?
The Guardians. Oh, gosh.
I know.
I mean, Cleveland's had like a low-key good year because of how bad that AL Central has been. Cleveland is kind of like coasted along to a division title if they end up winning by 11 games. I don't think anybody realized that. I mean, they're a good team. Jose Ramirez really carrying that offense. Andrés Giménez having a year out of nowhere to kind of supplement him in the lineup. And the pitching staff, I mean, Shane Bieber hasn't been as good as he was a couple years ago when he won the Cy Young. Tristan McKenzie, breakout year. I think Cleveland's just an overall better team than Tampa. I think they'll take it pretty easily. But you never know with the Rays in the playoffs, with their mixing and matching with relievers and their random players on offense that just step up to deliver.
You know what it is? Like you said, they don't have to go to the Trop. Like, they don't have to play in that terrible dome. Like, it's going to be outside, kind of cold weather in Cleveland. I think I was going to say Indians again. The Guardians, I think they're going to win this series. All right. What is the other series then for the American League?
This is a series that, like, I don't think is, like, synonymous with playoff baseball. The Seattle Mariners at the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, what?
Think about that for a minute, man. Seattle at Toronto in the wild card round. It's awesome to see because, like, these are two teams that, like, they're young, they're fun, they're not, like, traditional playoff powers. But I love seeing teams like this just kind of make the playoffs, have really great years, and look to step up and deliver.
Who do you like in this series?
I was leaning a little bit towards Seattle before they had to put Jesse Winker on the DL, but now that they have, I think this is a Toronto series to lose. They have a dynamic offense from top to bottom. Their pitching staff is actually really good, man, that we don't talk about. Kevin Gausman's been a stud for them. Rookie Alec Manoa pitching really well in addition. So I think I think Toronto's the overall better team. And I think it's going to be a tight series. I think it's going to be a fun series. But I think Toronto's just better and is going to take it.
Should Seattle be happy they finally broke their curse and made the playoffs?
Yeah, because they did it like on the back of Julio Rodriguez, who is like a young franchise cornerstone now. He's got that new long-term contract that'll tie him into Seattle for probably the rest of his career. They're not doing with like a retread to the veterans. It's not one of those teams that's going to bounce back to earth next year like we saw with the Giants. I think this is the future of the Mariners that we're seeing this year. I think this team is going to just keep doing this going forward. And even though they're in that tough division with the Astros, I mean, they're head and shoulders above everyone else aside from Houston. So looking good for them going forward.
All right. The two buys then are the Yankees, who we started with. Are they built to get to the World Series?
I mean, I hate to go back to Aaron Judge, but a lot depends on him because he's been the guy carrying that offense. And you look at their, like, rotation. I mean, it's Gerrit Cole and some other guys. A bullpen that has kind of struggled at times. I think that overall, you know, I think the Yankees have the star power to contend, but I kind of look at them as the similar both to the Phillies, man. If their stars show up, they could absolutely go on a run. But if not, man, they could get bounced pretty quick.
I agree with you. I don't believe in them because I believe in the other team, the team that's like Michael Myers, the Houston Astros. What do you think of this team this postseason?
Like, the Astros, like, keep losing guys to free agency. Like, they lost George Springer. Michael Brantley got hurt and missed a bunch of time this season. They lost Gerrit Cole, and they won 106 games. Again, they're like an incredible team. Yordan Alvarez is like a stud, MVP potential if Aaron Judge doesn't exist. Jose Altuve, even without sign stealing or buzzers or whatever, another fantastic year. Alex Bregman is a stud. Justin Verlander is probably the AL Cy Young a year after blowing his elbow out. The rest of that rotation is very good as well. Great bullpen. And I don't want to cheer for the Astros for obvious reasons, but I do think it would be pretty cool if Dusty Baker finally got a World Series ring.
Verlander's stats, what is he, 39? They're amazing. It's like Tom Brady-level stuff where when he win the MVP, was that – what year was that, 20 – because he won MVP and Cy Young. That was a decade ago. And like you said, they had the injury, and then he's doing this. He's out of his mind the way he's been.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, minus the steroids, it reminds me of Roger Clemens, that like first or second year in Houston when he was just like 38, 39, 40, however old he was. And he was just like taking souls out there, man. He was just on another level.
I would not want to play him.
We know now that Clemens' year wasn't natural, and we can assume the Verlander one is because of all the drug testing and such now, but man, what he's done is just ridiculous.
You think of like all that pitching in the National League, I do not want to face Verlander. If we're like, you know, he's coming at you game one, and he'll have like a week of rest. Oh man, it's going to be good. What should we check out online, buddy, with your work to get us ready for the playoffs?
I mean, right now it's like the busiest time of year for me because, you know, you got NFL, you got college football, NBA and NHL start in a couple weeks. Baseball playoffs start tomorrow, man. There's so much going on right now. So just keep an eye out for everything we got going on. AwfulAnnouncing.com.
Great stuff, man. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you later. Okay?
Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it.